11. Late at night on the front porch, Leo Offman wrote a list he could not see in the dark, exclaiming, "Ah," or "That's another," when he hit upon a fine component. Then the front door screen made a moth sound, tapping. "Lena?" he whispered. She sat down next to him on the swing, in her nightgown, not slim the way girls get when they are not loved at 17, not fat the way women get when they are not loved at 50, but absolutely right. A roundness, a firmness, the way women are at any age, he thought, when there is no question. She was miraculous. Her body, like his, was always thinking for her, but in a different way, shaping the children, or moving ahead of him into any room to change the atmosphere there to fit any particular mood he was in. There seemed no long periods of thought for her. Thinking and doing moved from her head to her hand and back in a natural and gentle circuiting he could not and cared not to blueprint. "That machine," she said at last, "we don't need it." "No," he said, "but sometimes you got to build for others. I've been figuring what to put in. Motion pictures? Radios? Stereoscopic viewers? All those in one place so any man can run his hand over it and smile and say, 'Yes, sir, that's happiness.'" Yes, he thought, to make a contraption that in spite of wet feet, sinus trouble, rumpled beds, and those 3 in the morning hours when monsters ate your soul, would manufacture happiness, like that magic salt mill that, thrown in the ocean, made salt forever and turned the sea to brine. Who wouldn't sweat his soul out through his pores to invent a machine like that? He asked the world. He asked the town. He asked his wife. In the porch swing beside him, Lena's uneasy silence was an opinion. Silent now, too, head back, he listened to the elm leaves above, hissing in the wind. "Don't forget," he told himself, "that sound, too, must be in the machine." A minute later, the porch swing, the porch, stood empty in the dark.